your source for everything paranormal. Para-X. The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
To you live and direct from my subterranean lair. My name is Ra, and I'm here to awaken the dormant particles that are spiraling inside your DNA. So come with me as we go further down the mystical spiral of life. It's Spiral Radio, where each and every week we unveil the different shades of you and the different shades of me until we are all vibrating the same frequency. And it's a beautiful Scorpio moon tonight as it transitions into Sagittarius. And we have an amazing guest, my friend and colleague, that we have had on Spiral Radio once before. And her name is Maria DeAndrea, everybody. If you want to look her up now, she's at mariadeandrea.com. That's MariaDeAndrea.com. And Maria is an internationally known professional psychic from Budapest, Hungary. Since her early years, she has always demonstrated high spiritual awareness and high psychic ability. Over her amazing lifetime, she has become a spiritual leader and has provided amazing psychic guidance and enlightenment to so many people. She assists them in on their own soul's spiritual self-discovery path, and she's, you know, in a well-versed occultist and psychic. She does amazing readings and psychometry. When you work with Maria, you can be assured that she will be able to give you the best results for your particular circumstance and for what you desire, because she can really help open up your true soul's purpose on Gaia. And she's also known for her unique form of divination called rune casting, which I really resonate with as well. It's really in my family as well. And we have a special sort of runes in my family, Etruscan runes. And, you know, she is amazing. She does everything from business consulting, clairvoyance, European shamanism, meditation techniques. You know, it goes on and on. And I want to welcome to Spiral Radio, everybody, Maria DeAndrea. Welcome, Maria.
Hi, how are you? And thank you so much for inviting me to come back on the show again. It was just so great the last time. You're terrific.
Thank you. Yeah, we've been in ever since I had you on the show. We've become friends and we talk, you know, through text messages and on the phone here and there. And I got to find you as a real warm soul. And I'm, you know, honored to be your friend. And, you know, if you missed out on the last time that I had Maria on Spiral Radio, we did this thing that I like to call Second Sight 7, which is where for about 7 minutes, well, sometimes it ends up being longer, although, you know, I rattle off questions where the psychic, and in this case, Maria, she doesn't really have time to ponder it over. She's got to say whatever first pops in her mouth, even if it's apples or bananas or whatever it is. You know, whatever first pops in your in her mind first is what she has to reveal. And it's interesting because when you say certain things, even if the psychic doesn't know about that topic, it's interesting what will pop in their mind when they first hear something or hear a phrase or hear a topic. And I think it's a very interesting perspective to hear someone like Maria, how they can tap into, you know, the holographic universe around us and pull in information. And it's the way that she interprets it, and all psychics, their way of interpreting it, that's really special. And I can't wait to hear some of the results that we have tonight with her. And for people that aren't really aware of what you do, Maria, why don't you explain to them your unique style of the way you do readings and psychic readings?
Well, first of all, I look at it as being able to tune in intuitively and psychically, and I know you agree with it, is it's a survival instinct. I truly believe everybody has some level of intuition, or what they like to call gut feeling.
Yeah.
The difference is that we consciously tune in and get the information when we choose to, rather than it just kind of pops up. Actually, it does both. And when I do readings, the way I work is that I tell people everything that I see first. I don't want to know anything ahead of time. Okay. And then at the end of the reading, I always tell people they can ask any questions that they want about anyone, anything. Past, present, future, pets, people that passed away. They can ask a question for somebody other than themselves, because it really doesn't matter. It's not like I'm doing intellectual checking up on it. I'm not looking at charts, you know. So what happens is I find that a lot of times situations come up in a reading, and then they'll ask a question about it. So it's a little bit more detailed. The reason I don't like them to have the questions first is because people don't really know me yet. So if they ask a question about something and then the rest of the reading turns out to be all about that, they won't know if it actually came up or it's because they asked. So I never let people ask questions first. And what I find that people don't realize a lot of times is that in a reading, what they get is what they need to know, not always what they want to know. So as an example, I was doing a reading for this very nice gentleman, and he tells people, I'm not breaking confidence. Nobody knows him. Yeah. And the whole reading was about, he had a company with a partner, and they were going to go bankrupt. And the way he was going to go bankrupt was because his partner was going to steal the money. And it actually said in the reading that in one of the rooms there was a vent, and if he opened the vent, there was a string, and if he pulled on it, a lot of the money was hidden there, and then his partner was going to clean him out. And I said to him, you have to go and look when you get back.
Yeah.
Right? So at the end of the reading, the only thing he wanted to know about was his girlfriend. Now, for some reason, so we covered that, but for some reason, the universe thought food might be more important.
Yeah.
So it didn't come up in the reading, but it came up with the questions. And he called me after the situation, and he said to me, he said, I went bankrupt exactly the way you said, and it was really accurate.
Wow.
And I keep saying, no, the point was to avoid. It told you where it was in the vent. So I said to him, I said, did you look? So he said, well, he didn't look in the vent, but he looked after he went bankrupt. And the string was there, but the money wasn't. Now, I have to tell you, just out of curiosity, I would have looked, because the worst thing that could have happened was I was wrong.
Yeah.
You know, so free will.
It's true. You know? It's amazing.
Right? But I like to use the runes more, because I find everybody has a different trigger that works better for them. And I find with the runes, I get a lot more details. So I do straight readings, which just means we don't need a tool, you know. However, when I'm dealing with businessmen or the military or people along that line, I like the runes because they give me a little bit more detail. And I personally feel the more information you have, the better you can make your own decisions, because we're meant to give people information as a guide. We're not supposed to tell them what to do. It's kind of like, that's the point of free will.
Right? Yeah.
You know, But I find it doesn't matter what tool you use, because I'll switch if somebody wants me to switch or if I have an urge, you know, to switch. So as long as it's not astrology, I pretty much do everything else. And not that astrology is not a good field. For some reason, God kind of skipped me on patience.
I hear you. Plus, you're more of an emotional type person that likes to tap into the emotion part of it, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? I totally feel that. And you, the runes is really like something that I would like to discuss too. I mean, do you have a, I know Etruscan runes is a little bit different than the regular runes. Is yours similar to like Nordic runes as well?
Well, I have two different types. Okay. So I actually have the Nordic runes. However, a lot of times what I do is I use Hungarian runes.
Wow. You know what? My twin flame on this planet, her father was from Hungary.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. So I can relate to, you know, you guys have a lot of mystics in your tradition as well. Because I know in my family from Italy, we got a lot of our information from the Etruscans, and the Etruscans got it from the Persians, and the Persians got it from, they say, a mysterious star people. Did you also receive information from the Persians as well?
I think in Hungary, it's a combination of pretty much everywhere, because it was originally, just like everybody else, they were nomadic tribes. So it actually started out with the Huns and the Hungarians being one tribe way back. And then they split. And in their travels, I really feel on the occult, on the metaphysical side, it's a little of everything. It was more whatever seemed to work the best.
Yeah. So no, I hear you.
When I write the books, when I teach the ancient methods in mind, because I find the ancient methods haven't been toned down and played with. Because sometimes people update, which is wonderful, but they'll update, say, a formula, and they don't know what they're updating, and then they're surprised it doesn't work.
So you
either need to leave the old formulas alone because they're passed down for hundreds of years because they work, or if you're going to change them, which some of us do, like you and I, you know, we just need to know the laws of nature to be able to know what to change and how it correlates and what not to touch.
Yes, you know, that's something I wanted to touch on real quick too, because, you know, I was always taught, because in my family, it's a hereditary thing that was passed down. And I was taught as a young boy that you never, like, should, you know, buy like a spell book and repeat somebody else's spells. It should always be something that a prayer or a spell that you make for yourself, for your own healing or for your own protection. It should never be like repeated from somebody else. Or if you're going to make like some sort of sigil or symbol for yourself for protection or for healing, it should be something that you come up with yourself, because when you repeat someone else's spell, you're adding to their power of their intention when they originated that spell. And it's like giving power to that person or to that spellcaster.
So in Hungary, you know, we don't really look at it like that. Well, you know, I'm a shaman through Hungary, and I'm connected to some of the tribes here.
Yeah.
We feel that when we're making up a spell or a formula, we're putting our power into it. But that's basically to activate it on the molecular and the cellular and the electromagnetic and the magnetic fields.
Oh, yeah. I agree with that completely. So yes.
So we're activating it. But yes. I find, you know, like I said, I teach classes and I pass on a lot of the information because some people just really don't know how. So until they get to a level where they can do it on their own, this will get them there. I find anybody that uses any of the spells or formulas that I have, I don't really have any effect from that.
No, that's not I understand what you're saying. I'm saying that if, say, you're repeating a spell in order to, like, you're trying to, like, claim a lover or something like that.
Right.
And you're repeating it word for word from that somebody else wrote. It's like that intention gets magnified and you're adding to the attention when that person originated that spell. And giving more power to it.
No, I know what you mean, but I find, you know, there's always a way to tweak everything.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, that people should kind of make it their own, put their own names in it.
And, but I find what happens is this. If they do a formula that one of us made, okay, originated, and they're putting their intent, say like you were saying with the relationship, and they're trying to bring somebody in. Because they're bringing in a different person, their intent is focused differently automatically. And emotionally, they're going to be focused on different qualities than the person that wrote it.
Yeah.
So in that aspect, it already separates it to be more individual for the person. Because they're looking for something else.
Yeah. Okay. See, I was never taught to do something like that, to cast a spell to claim a lover or something. I was only taught that to do something for like healing or protection.
Right.
I think it's okay to like want to attract good fortune in a way, but not to like pray for $1 million or pray for the lady down the street that's not attracted to you. You're trying to manipulate her love or her will.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's kind of black magic in a way, I feel, you know?
Well, you know what, as I personally find, and you know, I have a lot of books out, I teach classes, I've been doing this forever. I have never taught anything negative. And
yeah,
there is no
I agree. That's why I have you on.
Well, I appreciate that. But I have not one single thing in my books that are negative, because I truly believe in karma, that what you put out comes back. And there's always a positive way to work on the light side.
Yes.
And as an example, say in a relationship, we would never force somebody because it's against their free will.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
And it will never work out because, first of all, they're not going to stay. And if they stay, it's going to be horrendous. So what we will do is we might bring in somebody that's positive for them, you know, not with a particular name, just somebody positive for them. What it does is it'll bring in the contact. Once they make the contact, it doesn't force anybody to stay. They're on their own. That's free will. Okay.
Have you ever come across, while you're doing these readings, have you ever come across like a strong, strong spirit from someone's past that just wouldn't stop coming in and just really like made itself known to you right away?
Oh, sure. You know, well, you know, we always do, both of us, you know, we all do psychic self-defense in some form or another. So sometimes something like that will come in. It doesn't affect us the same way because we're protected. But a lot of times it's giving information, or it's if it's negative, we do help banish it.
Is there anything that you remember that's ever stayed with you where it's like almost stuck with you for a little while? Where you
actually, this is really funny about, let's see. Well, it's funny now. It was not funny at the time.
I imagine.
But about maybe about 3 weeks ago, I was working at a psychic fair because, you know, we network. And I was doing readings all day, and everybody that came to me was asking about people that passed away. It just worked out like that. That's not how it always is.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was all day. So you're high, you know, psychically high.
Yeah.
All day. I don't want a drug bust here. We're always going, are you alpha high? Because alpha is your brainwave, alpha and theta when you're working psychically.
High.
And yeah, and I get clients and students, they'll call up and go, are you high? And I'm telling you, I'm waiting for somebody to come to my door.
It's just like when you see, when you experience like true love and you look in somebody's eyes, you see, it's like you're high, you know, it's transforming. Yeah.
Exactly. So what happened was, before the last person that I read, this lady came, this guy, he comes and he says to me, he says, well, he's checking on somebody that passed away, you know? And what happened was the person that passed away was shot to death. Okay. Now, I didn't know that ahead of time because it just doesn't occur to people to tell you. So, you know, I was tuning in. I gave her the information. Now, I'm driving home, an hour and a half to drive home. I am telling you, it came with me. Now, it's not going to really last because we do defense. But in the hour and a half, driving halfway, I kept looking down at the car because I thought I was bleeding.
Wow.
Logically, I knew I wasn't, but you know how blood feels? It's kind of like sticky, you know?
Yeah, that's – oh, but man.
I'm looking down at the car because I don't want to mess up my car.
Yeah, right?
So, and then I have to remember, it's like, oh, yeah, not physical. And I was in pain all the way home.
Wow, so that's intense.
Home, I ground, and it goes away. you know, it doesn't stay. But I knew somebody hitchhiked with me, so I had to send them back. But that was the after effect after I sent them back.
Did you see it? Did you see it, like, dripping off of you, too, or you just felt it?
No, I felt it, and it looked red. Like, you know, it looked like you
plasma.
Know, when you're bleeding, and it's just, like, dripping down
that
your
thick,
skirt.
That thick, like, that thickness of it, though, right? Like, yeah. Right. I don't know if it's plasma or whatever it's called, yeah.
And being sane that I am, I kept thinking, oh, I don't want to mess up my car.
That's crazy. Oh, my God, that's intense.
I got to tell you, it messes with dating.
Yeah, and like I had an intense day as well. I went with like my best friend in the whole world, and we went to this place. I was mentioning it before, Don Bosco, the Marian Shrine. What? It's like this place that's dedicated to friars and monks. They do their vow of silence there, mm-hmm. and I actually grew up right down the street from there. And like I could cut through, walk up to the top of the hill at my parents' house, and when I cut through the backyard, all of a sudden you'll see like a 40-foot statue of Virgin Mary, and yeah, it's crazy. I call her, you know, Diana or Tana, like, because it's like the goddess, you know. It's like it's really huge, and when the full moon comes out, it like sits over her head.
Oh.
And there's all these amazing statues throughout the forest there, and when I was younger, people were doing like black magic rituals in the woods back there, and kids were partying, because one time I was going back there. I used to walk to school that way, cut through there, and I found a German Shepherd hanging from a tree.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. And my mom was like, oh, I'll never walk back there again. So today I went there to go see the statues, and me and my best friend went out there, and me and her, first we weren't taking pictures at all, but we started having such experiences that I went to go get my phone from the car, and there's this patron saint that's was a little boy, Dominic Salvio, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And
right.
Yeah, and he was like the protege of Don Bosco, who this place was named after, and Don Bosco was even like the patron saint for magicians, you know, and magicians would call upon him. So this little boy, this statue felt very ominous in a way, though. Something was weird about it when I saw it. And I feel there was a crazy energy of the place. And it's on old Native American grounds as well. And when I grabbed one of the boulders there, because they have standing stones there actually around some of the monuments. And I grabbed one of the standing stones, and it like sucked all the energy out of me. I felt immediately tired, and I saw like almost like a digital in my head or something. Like it was coded. Like the stone was encoded with something.
You know, I wouldn't be surprised, because, you know, when you think about how we deal with different realms, you know, physically, you know, other realms visiting and non-physical, you have to look at it as there are other beings that are smarter than us, some not. But they have to be able to do things that we can't. And eventually, through hundreds of years, when we're ready, you know, we run through different situations where we go, oh, this is what this is.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's like when we're ready.
Yeah, and this that Don Bosco, he, you know, he had connections to Turin, Italy as well. And Turin, Italy is really interesting. Do you know anything about that area?
A little bit.
Have you ever heard of like the ley lines that run through there?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah. In my family, we call it the place where the Benendante and the Malendante dance. It's where the good and the bad spiral around each other. And for one moment in time, they everything's at their one, like the good and the bad entwine.
Right. It's a little bit like the crossroads.
Yeah. Yeah. And
but the ley lines are very powerful. I find, you know, like in martial arts, they call them dragon lines. In a cult, you know, which we do both, it's, you know, the ley lines. And it's amazing how people sometimes misunderstand as it just goes through the earth as a grid. And it actually goes through the universe as a grid, including the planet and us.
I agree. I mean, I think it was the Chinese, they call it the dragon's breath, how it would be like these rainbow colors that would entwine and spiral around around the ley lines, like these rainbow-like colors, you know, and earth energies, I guess you want to call it. Yeah. And is there any spots in Hungary that you know that are like high energy places?
There's a couple, but it's more in the mountains. It's more like the Carpathian Mountains.
There are certain that's right.
You know, and they actually have paths where you're walking up the path and the Carpathian Mountains, and you walking up towards a shrine. And when you get to the, it's very, very powerful energy. And it's funny because sometimes people have said they made it partway up and the energy was getting so strong.
They just couldn't handle it.
Turn back.
Yeah, yeah.
They just didn't know what it was because they didn't understand the ley lines or the energy vortexes. They just all of a sudden felt too tired to go on.
That's amazing. So, yeah,
it's funny because you feel it whether you understand this or believe it or don't believe it, you still feel it.
Yeah, you got no choice. Yeah, it's like gravity. You just.
I always look at it as you don't have to believe it to create it.
I agree.
Yeah, but I know you do several forms of divination.
Yeah, no, I do oracle readings, but it's I try to like almost like I call it like a DNA activation too. Like I try to. Basically, Maria, I feel like we all throughout our life, we pick up insecurities, right? We pick up certain things from other people that gets almost implanted in our mind, like a thought implant, you know, it gets stuck in there. And when we let it just sit there and we don't deal with it, and it's that little voice in the back of our mind every time we look in the mirror and saying, oh, remember me? You don't like your smile. Or remember me? Somebody, you know, and it turns into its own boogeyman on your soul. And it clings to you. And I believe, and in my family, we believe that that can get imprinted on your DNA and on your memory, your genetic memory. And if you don't deal with that trauma, it gets imprinted on your DNA. So what I do is I help people transform in the astral into the dream time and to battle these insecurities on the physical plane as well as in the dream time and battle these boogeyman and help to awaken their true soul's purpose on this planet. And which is to help themselves and Gaia spiritually evolve and other people to awaken and spiritually evolve and to put people on their certain little individual course that will help people and help themselves awaken, you know? So I try to help people clear themselves of these insecurities and these boogeymen that they create in their minds and these entities that gets, you know, brought in, you know, that they create in the astral, in their soul plane. You know, on the soul level, they create these boogeyman, these monsters, and I help them battle those monsters.
That's phenomenal because I don't know anybody else that does that.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That's something very, very needed. I find when I do readings, I do different forms, of course, but one of them is, you know, I deal with a lot of businessmen. I deal with, like I said, military, very, you know, emotional, personal issues. But what I like to do personally, and I will answer anybody's question about anything and help them, but I like when we can help them evolve spiritually and show them what their path is in this lifetime and what their best direction is. And then, of course, it's their free will whether they choose to work with it or not. But
yes.
I find that when you and I do this type of work, you know, it makes you feel like you're actually contributing more and you're actually helping the person elevate spiritually within themselves, so their awareness heightens. I love that saying they had in – there's this book and a movie called Dune, you know.
Yeah. Sandworms. Yeah.
And I love the part where it said the sleeper has awakened.
Yeah.
So I'm always thinking maybe you and I are helping people awaken a little bit to their true path and who they really are, you know. And I think that's more important.
I really do too. I'm glad you put it that way because I really feel that's true. And I do like what I'm saying as well. And I also do like oracle readings and I have, you know, different oracle decks and tarot decks. And I still find it amazing how it's almost like a magnet. Is it how the cards just like pop out of the deck? It's really amazes me.
Oh, I love that because I do different decks depending on, you know, mood. Well, you know, it's funny because people ask me for like logical explanations of how you pick your deck and none of it is logical.
Yeah.
Right? When you pick the deck, didn't
I
you
agree.
Go, it feels right.
Yep. You just know. Right? Yeah.
And
the knowing.
Right. And people keep wanting analytical reasons sometimes for things that have nothing to do with being analytical.
Yeah.
And we're actually both, because we function on both realities, man and spirit. So we're actually very analytical when we need to be, but we tune into the different realms when we need to be. I tend to look at it as we're walking on a tightrope, you know, like with you and I, people that do this, you know, consciously more. And it's like walking on a tightrope, and one side of the tightrope is astral and esoteric reality and the different realms of spirit. And the other side of the tightrope is the mundane physical world that we deal with every day. And we just tend to choose which side we want to step on at that moment.
Yeah. And we're gonna take a quick break. And we take one break here, Maria. I don't know if you remember from last time. We play one song and we'll come back for another 30 minutes. And when we come back from break, maybe we could get into the Second Sight 7. And so if you want to just clear your mind, relax to the music. And then when we come back, everybody, it's going to be really fun what we do with Maria. Last time it was amazing, the things that she came up with, especially when she said, when I asked her about the Sphinx, she saw different colors on it in her head. And it was like the first time she said she's ever mentioned that or saw it that way. And I thought that was really interesting. So when we come back, we'll be back with Maria DeAndrea at mariadeandrea.com. You got to contact her for readings. She's an amazing person, everybody. And the name of the song is called Radio Lena by Far Radio Clouds. And Spiral Out.
Thank you.
listening at home, at work, or anywhere. Thanks for making Para-X part of your day. Your source for everything paranormal, Para-X.
And we're back. My name is Ra from themysticalspiral.com, and you can find my lovely guest at mariadeandrea.com, mariadeandrea.com. And that song you just heard was by my good friend Ricky, and I've worked with him before on songs, and they're called Far Radio Clouds, and the name of the song is Radio Lena. And you can find them on Spotify and Reverb Nation, and also the other band, Analog Driver, as well. And you can find, like I said, Maria DeAndrea for readings, for anything psychic related, anything esoteric, occult related. You can find her and contact her at mariadeandrea.com. I have links to her website at themysticalspiral.com, at my website. And you can also find me on YouTube. I do daily vids there now for the last 2 months or so at Exploring the Ka with host Ra Castaldo. And once again, my name is Ra, and this is the Mystical Spiral Radio. And I want to thank my producer, Sarge, for always being in the background, helping us out. He's the Wizard of Oz behind the mic. And Maria, we had a question in the chat room before we get into Second Sight 7, everybody, which is a rapid-fire psychic question. We have a question in the chat room for you.
Of course.
This is kind of they said that it's a weird question. It's a bit out there, but it's they wanted your psychic opinion about something that happened to them in their life, whether you think it's genuine or a deception. They're claiming that an entity visited them while they were in there. I don't know where they were, but it visited him. They want to know whether it was a reptilian king, like it said, or a deception.
Okay. I need at least a first name of the person that visited.
Okay. In the chat room, their name is Totoro.
Okay. Okay. It feels to me like it was real.
Wow. Now,
I usually
okay. Their name. They just gave me their real name. Their real name is Simon.
Okay. No, feels. No, it feels real. Now this is what I'm feeling, and I have to tell you honestly. Usually, an answer to that is 99% of the time no.
Yeah. I thought you were going to say it was a deception.
No, it doesn't feel like that. It feels to me like the purpose of that entity coming was to pass on knowledge. It feels strictly as something on a teaching level, and it was meant as a learning experience to teach. So there must have been something in the experience that if they look back,
amazing.
They actually learn, because that was the purpose. I don't feel it coming back, by the way. It's more like, you know, coming over, passing on knowledge, whether you use the knowledge or not, you know, it depends on you. You know, there's no good or bad. There's no positive or negative. It's simply a choice. But it was for the purpose of passing on.
That's amazing. That's amazing that you just said that, because in the chat room, Simon said that the being said that it was his son in a past life. So that would be passing on knowledge from father to son.
Oh,
wow.
Okay.
Wow, that's so amazing.
Yeah. And honestly, you know how it is. 99% of the time we're going, no.
Yeah. And that would be like, no, it's probably a negative thing if not, you know.
But,
yeah. Wow. Yeah.
But very positive.
Yeah, he said that the thing was his father in a past life.
Yeah, I don't feel any negative energy off that. It's nothing hurtful, harmful. I don't feel anything that's danger.
Wow. So I thank you, Maria, for answering that for the chat room. I really appreciate you doing that. And you know, you put yourself at risk out there. You know, you have to protect yourself. Just by doing things, people like that don't realize that, you know, psychics, there is, you know, defense that you have to put yourself up, because you, by putting things out there like that, you know, you put yourself vulnerable to psychic attack or, you know, a psi attack.
I find, like, I teach psychic self-defense. I'm sure you do. We all have our own forms.
Yes.
But we never go out there without that, because people don't realize, even if you're opening a door to some positive energy – you're opening a gateway. You don't know what else is hitchhiking along with it. You know, or like everybody for a while was, they were calling in angels. You can't just call in an angel, because what they forget is there are fallen angels. You don't know what you're getting.
Yeah.
So unless you're calling in an angel or an archangel by name, or saying positive angel, but you still have that gateway open. That's why we always recommend, both of us, we always recommend some form of psychic self-defense before you play with anything. We don't want anybody to get hurt.
Yeah, and you know what? We have one more question now. Now we're getting them going. From this is from Isaac in the chat room, and I know Isaac. I've done a reading on Isaac before. He's a good guy, and he says he feels something is seeking him. So is it the saying, "What you seek is seeking you"?
Well, a lot of times that's what it is. I don't feel that in this situation. Okay. In this situation, what I feel is, you know, when you have, and let me know if it's not being clear, because I get it in different forms at different seconds. And I mean seconds. Okay. So what he has is a spirit trying to give him information for self-growth, whatever that means to him. So self-growth can be an awareness level, but it can also be financial, emotional, on the mundane plane.
Yeah.
And what I feel is it's trying to look at how, and I feel it as male energy. So I feel that he's trying to give him information that's going to make him feel better, move up in life, trying to make him feel happier. Now, because of that, what I feel is he's going to have 3 months, meaning literally from today, not the calendar. He's going to have 3 months where he's going to be literally on a lucky streak. So what that means is, if he has an urge, not logic, if he has an urge to do something speculative, because for the whole 3 months, it's going to hit on and off and on and off. It's not a one-shot thing.
Yeah.
So if he has an urge to do something speculative, real estate, stock market, lottery, he should move on it, because realistically, we can't always, but as much as he can, because there's something lucky in it. So say he went to play the lottery as an example. He'd either win money, he'd meet somebody new, he'd overhear people talking about something he needs to know. He avoided a problem where he would have been. There's something lucky in it for him. And most of the time, he will see exactly what it is if he pays attention. But as much as possible, he should move on it, because he's getting this little push from the other side to literally be in the flow of luck. But it's for 3 months.
So you don't think okay. So thank you, Isaac and Maria. Thank you for doing that. I appreciate that, and that's amazing. You know, I really feel that everybody, you should really contact Maria out there. She is, you know what, they just, and I knew, because I felt when you were starting to talk, I felt the connection. You know, with it, I started to get chills, and even. Isaac said in the chat room that this is amazing. You know, what you've said has been happening to him, and you know, and it's happened. You know, it started too when I gave him the reading. You know, things started to click for him everywhere. You know, and
wonderful.
Yeah, yeah. So and you were just like confirming what's been happening for him, and you know, it's interesting how you know, it's really like a magnetic attraction. Like how you could like tap into someone's, you know, soul, like holographically in a way.
Right. Well, you know what I find? I find like if you were reading somebody and I was reading the same person, I find we would get the same information, but we might get that little different.
Just, yep, exactly. Just little interpretations. Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, you might get the exact same information I gave, but you might get maybe a little bit more emotional fields. I might get a little bit more financial, but the basic information will be the same.
Yep. That's why you talk to some people sometimes. They're like, wow, you know, the three psychics told me basically the same thing. It's like, yeah,
I would put that information.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. If everybody's telling you you quack and you got webbed feet, then you might be a duck, right? All right, so everybody, we got like 15 minutes left, so I figured this is a good time to do our little game that we call Second Sight 7 here on Spiral Radio. And that's for about 7 minutes. I rattle off basically like esoteric, occult, supernatural, paranormal type questions in that genre. And the psychic, that's the guest, in this case Maria, the trick of it is that they can't think about what I'm asking them. As soon as they hear the question, they just have to say the first thing that comes to their mind, rattle off whatever, even if it's totally out there. They just got to rattle off with the first thing that comes to mind, even if they don't understand what the topic is, or they've never heard of the question, what's in the question. They never heard of the person or the place or whatever we're talking about. They still just got to say the first thing that comes to their mind. And I find that intuitively and psychically, you can really get some interesting, you know, information that's pulled in from this holographic universe that's around us, that I feel that many people, you know, we all have access to if we're able to, you know, awaken it within us. But some people, I think, are more in tune with it either because they were born that way, or something happened in their life that activated it, or they just spiritually ascended that way, or whatever it is some people are really in tune with it and can tap into it right away. And that's Maria is one of these people. So I don't know if you're ready, Maria, if you want to take a second.
Oh, no, I'm fine. I'm always fine.
Okay. All right, everybody.
We're always fine.
I have some questions that I wrote that, and if anybody in the chat room has some questions at all, I'll read them as well. So, okay, we'll start with all right. So, I don't know if you've ever heard of what time jumpers are, but have you ever heard of time jumpers? And if not, do you think that these beings are coming into our timelines to change history? And if so, are they sometimes burying and stashing certain books or scriptures to be found at certain key points in time?
Okay. First of all, I feel they're very real, because some situations you hear about and they're not. Okay. I do feel they're here to teach us and to pass on information. They are bearing information. I don't see them quite as books. I see them more as, I don't know how else to describe,
tablets.
Like clear tablets.
Yeah. 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 I was just saying tablets.
Like,
yeah.
Like sigils or glyphs on them.
Yes.
It kind of look like when you see the clear acrylic, except it's not acrylic. It's
wow.
Not stone. I don't know what it is. It's a different material, but it's clear, and it's like the sigils or symbols are inside it, vibrating in red.
Do you know how Göbekli Tepe was basically like buried after it was built? Do you think that this site could have been a time jumper situation?
Hmm. I don't feel it's connected.
Cool.
I mean, they might not be tuned into the same type of esoteric information.
Yeah, no. I was thinking maybe it could have been a time, you know, I just wanted to see what intuitively came to you.
No, it doesn't feel like that to me.
Cool. Okay, is Metatron actually Enoch, but at a higher spiritual ascension?
Okay. Actually, I do feel the connection, but Metatron, depending on the name you use, because Metatron has more than one label, for lack of a better
term. Yeah, do you think it was like he was Enoch at one point in time, but he spiritually evolved into Metatron? Do you think that's possible?
No, I'm saying I think that was a connection, but I also feel the energy of Jinn energy.
Whoa, like that's what I've – yeah,
so
I said that before.
Like Metatron was a djinn and eventually changed into an archangel label. And I mean it as a label. I don't know how else to say it, or title.
Yeah, well, that's how the Kabbalists, that's how they arrange them in archangels. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Like,
however, yeah. I feel originally I feel that as djinn energy. And the djinn have been with us they're a race of beings that have been with us about 2,000 years before Adam.
Yeah, from the beginning of time. Yeah, and you're coming out with a book soon about that, right?
Yes, I am. Now I'm going to have to put Metatron in.
Yes, yes. That's amazing. Oh, my God. That was intense. Okay, do you feel the fallen angel Azazel in the Book of Enoch is the same being as Semyaza?
No. I really don't. I know what people say.
Yeah.
But it just doesn't feel like that to me. I know a lot of times, especially on the esoteric level, I read different books because even though we write, you know, we're always trying to learn. And sometimes I'll read something and like 20 books will say the same thing and it just feels off to me. I don't know why, but it doesn't feel like that.
Wow.
It feels like a different connection.
No, that's interesting. In ancient Earth, in places like Lemuria or Mu and Atlantis, do you think that they had trees that went miles high to the edge of the atmosphere?
Actually, yes.
Cool. That's what I think, too.
Luckily, I wouldn't think that. But I also feel that they had a lot of crystal work.
Yeah.
What I feel around the trees, I keep feeling it's like a clear stone. Oh, hold on. Because it feels like a charging stone.
Like a quartz?
Selenite. No, it feels like selenite.
Wow.
So I keep feeling a lot of selenite around the base of the trees. I don't know why, but they all seem to have them.
Wow. Do you think these large trees gave us more cerebral capabilities, like brain power?
I feel it gave us a little bit more, but I feel it tuned us more intuitively into nature, more than the logical aspect.
Wow.
So it would have been more of a connection to understanding like wind energy, like we work with air, wind, you know, that level. We work with fire, earth,
yeah,
you know, water and spirit. And I feel that that put everybody more in tune with those aspects. And of course, part of that is mental, but it felt more like a nature connection with the elements or the, and also I keep feeling a lot of elemental spirits at that time.
Wow.
But more like working with. You know,
wow.
You know, the situation. But I feel it more in Mu than I feel it in Atlantis.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have a strong connection to Mu, too. Whenever I hear just the word Mu, it gives me something inside when I hear it.
Oh, it resonates.
Yeah. Yeah. Big time.
Now, and
I want to continue this. And Maria, I think this should be a regular thing when you come on Spiral Radio. I think you should. I really love this with you. Okay, the bright lights that people see when they have near-death experiences and they go through these certain realms, like what the Tibetan monks describe as the Bardo realms, mm-hmm. Do you feel that this is some sort of like soul review simulation almost, like a simulation like in the soul matrix? And what's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear that?
Okay, the first thing that comes to me is that it's a gateway. It does feel like kind of like seeing really quick – slides, for lack of a better term, like movies.
Whoa.
You know,
yeah.
Kind of, you know, looking at it really, really quickly, like the speed of light type of level. But it feels to me like a gateway. Now, it doesn't feel like a gateway to heaven or hell. That's not what I mean. It feels like a gateway into awareness.
Hmm.
And that's why I get that word.
Wow.
It's more
that's
that
intense.
Going through that, it's more heightening your and your spiritual energy and really your inner awareness.
Wow. Okay. That's amazing. Is there something beneath the Loch Ness? Is there interdimensional portals beneath the Loch?
Yes.
Whoa.
I really feel that. Well, there's a couple of things. I really feel that there are beings in the inner earth, you know, because that connection seems to come up often when we're working with spirit, more often than people realize. We just don't always mention where the spirits come from.
Wow.
We don't have that big explanation. But it feels definitely like that. And it feels like there are major, major gateways. I was trying to think of the word gateways. It feels like there's five major ones on the earth right now from ancient beings, but physical gateways, not on the spirit plane. And it feels like two, definitely, maybe three are in the United States. And then I feel two in different countries.
Whoa.
Physical gateways.
Wow. That's amazing. That's intense.
You know, I also feel that at least one of the gateways in this country, the military would already know about.
Yeah, I agree. I agree, definitely. And if you're just joining us, everybody, this is Maria DeAndrea from MariaDeAndrea.com, and we're playing Second Sight 7, which is a psychic rapid-fire quiz where she just has to rattle off the first thing that comes to her mind. And we got a couple minutes left, so we're going to get a couple more questions in if Maria doesn't mind.
Of course.
Okay, cool. So was the Buddha's father one of the Magi? What's the first thing that comes to your mind?
It feels yes.
Wow. It's
like that. Okay. It feels a longer connection. It feels like a longer, I keep getting the word lineage, even before that.
Do you feel he has Persian connections?
Yes.
Whoa, nice. Did Genghis Khan have psychic powers or ET contact, extraterrestrial?
It feels like contact with different realms, with a different realm.
Almost like a shaman, like he was some kind of like warrior shaman.
It doesn't feel like the intuitive level was that extremely high as much as the communication level was very high.
Wow.
And he's good at listening.
Whoa. That's interesting.
It feels more like that.
Wow. Okay, does every planet have an Akashic record, Maria?
Yes.
Whoa. Okay. Like, does any other planets?
And I keep feeling very strongly with planets. Different colors, but I keep getting different musical notes attached to them.
Wow. Did Tesla?
I don't know music, so.
did Tesla have access to these Akashic records?
Definitely.
Wow. Definitely.
And what I like about Tesla is Tesla was very analytical and scientific, and at the same time, he was an occultist.
Well, yes. And
intuitive, so he was both.
Do you think these ancient Egyptian gods like Ptah and Osiris had something like Tesla coils in their staffs and maybe even in their backs?
No, it doesn't feel like that. It feels like a higher form of energy, and it feels like it was much smaller and more contained in whatever it was. But it feels like little tiny cylinders, but really small. And different energy than the Tesla coil.
Okay. When you hear the word Aten, which was the Akhenaten called Aten, that's what he called the solar disk or the god. What's the first thing that comes to your mind when you hear Aten?
Okay. Father.
Whoa.
Because
okay.
What I feel is very strong father energy, for lack of a better word. And what I feel, teacher, father, and I feel Akhenaten was basically very serious, but I feel there's like a little warped sense of humor running through that. And I feel his features just feel very friendly. When you
okay.
Look at his features.
I want to get I have so many questions and I only have a time for like one or two. Okay, Juan Diego encounter that they call the Virgin of Guadalupe and the Tilma painting that was given to him, was that a form of ET or interdimensional contact? And does the painting have supernatural powers?
Okay, I don't feel it was an ET connection. I don't feel the painting has supernatural powers. What I feel is that it has a lot of built-up energy. You know, like when you're doing a crystal power rod, you're sinking your energy into it constantly to charge it so that when you use it, you're activating it. That's what it feels like.
Okay, is the Giza Pyramid, was that a thought form construct, meaning were the stones not brought there but created there?
Oh, okay. I know what you mean. No, it feels like they were there.
That, like the stones, like they were brought from somewhere else there, or were they created right there by thought?
So it doesn't feel like created. It feels like they were brought there.
Okay, wow. Okay.
And it just feels like very, very high knowledge. You know, and wow. I keep feeling it. I really keep feeling part of it. This one feel part of it. It feels like it was floating a little bit. But the other part of it, it feels like they had, you know, when you think of the trees and you cut them down, you can just roll them, you know, those big trees. It feels like they had them on trees, and then they push it a little bit, and then they would take the tree in the back and put it in the front, and they kept doing it.
Okay, real quick, because we have to go. When you hear the name Yaldabaoth, what comes to mind?
Very high energy, power, very intense power, a lot of control. It feels like somebody that could bring success to your life.
Okay. Wow, this has been Second Sight 7, everybody, and this is Spiral Radio with the amazing Maria DeAndrea at MariaDeAndrea.com. Find me at themysticalspiral.com, and once again, I say, Spiral out.